Welcome to the Amateur Skeptics Podcast number 231. I'm your host, Brian. Joining this evening, Mad Cat.
Having a drink on the show.
Yeah, you're having a real drink. And of course, the dumbass himself.
I'm inviting pseudoscience to flower up my lapel, squirting it with the waters of facts.
Oh, God. Nice.
Being a squirt again, are you?
I'm imbibing, but mine is just a rye whiskey. A little bit of a snifter of rye risk, and it's 100 proof, so 50% alcohol by volume.
Nice.
Yeah.
I will take a puff on this THC.
There you go. You got a THC vape. You guys are hitting it harder than me. But technically, actually, I think that the THC is actually less harmful for you than the alcohol I have in my. But
yeah,
but far more legal. Everybody, how's everybody doing?
Pretty good.
Mad Cat, sounds like you've been having some pain.
Yeah, a bit. A bit is very dependent on each person.
Oh, well.
But
I've been having some shoulder pain.
Have you? I'm still having back pain. I think, I don't think it's ever going to go away.
No. Once it's there.
Yeah, we are all steadily becoming more and more decrepit.
Yep. Falling apart at this.
Yep. Well, hey, Brian and I are both just another year further along.
That's true. We both just had birthday.
Yep. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
I think that's copyrighted. We can't go any further.
Actually, no. It's in the public domain now, right?
Oh, is it? I don't know.
I think it came into the public domain along with, I think at the same time as we, either that or like somewhere around there.
Oh, yeah, okay, no, did like, it, okay.
Well, it'd 50 be, doesn't tone it anymore.
It'd be funnier if it, in Canada is in the public domain, but in the U.S. it's not. So.
Okay.
Although when I think happy birthday to friends, I do my own version of it anyway. I do, today it is your birthday, a special day, it's true. Your day to sit and bear it while people sing at you, hey!
Okay, that's good. I like it. I like that one.
I just put on Weird Al's happy birthday song, which right now I don't remember the words. Dorothy would. Hey, Dot, what are the words to Weird Al's happy birthday song?
We probably don't need that. That we probably can get in trouble for.
We probably can. However.
I don't even know that one, I don't think.
I'm not even sure I know that one. We'll have to look it up later.
You don't know that one? Oh.
Is that one of his newer ones?
I have no idea.
I think I know almost all of his older ones.
That's one of his older ones. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Weird Al, happy birthday song. So, yeah, we're not playing that.
Yep. Actually, he has an open, I think he has open license.
Oh, does he have an, okay. Yeah, for,
I'm not sure.
I don't know. We're not going to risk it. Not that anybody listens to this. And of course, with the website's finally fixed. We finally got that all worked out. And I put 3 episodes up, and so I need to put some more. But so we can get back on it.
All right, we're back, baby.
We're back.
Yay!
All right, but I think it's probably time to move on. So what time is it?
Yes. It is Dumbass's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire.
The Amateur Skeptics present Ian's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire. The Dumbass Media Empire, bringing you content that touches people while they touch themselves.
However, it looks more like Brian's dumbass.
Yeah, it's my dumbass.
Brian's covering us today with article on female squirting.
Yeah. Okay, this is big, right? Because squirting is one of those things that, like, in porn has become huge.
Really?
Yeah, Yeah, so I mean, if you go to Pornhub, it won't take you long to find a squirting video. Probably don't even got to go there. Just put it in Google and make sure you turn off the safe search, and you'll have one. It is kind of a big thing, and it's one of those things that I think we talked about it years ago, and I think that people weren't positive what it was, and some people said, "Oh, it's just urine," and other people said, "Nope, it's something else." And I was like, "Okay, it's a lot of fluid that comes out when in these squirting videos." I assume that dumbass, you've seen some of them, right? You must have come run across one.
On occasion.
It's not something I've really sought out either, but I've seen a couple of them.
No, are you kidding? I love squirting videos.
Okay, good. Oh, okay, good. Good. It seems like a lot of fluid, right? And my question is always, okay, if it's not urine, where is the woman's body keeping all of these to come out gush, right? It kind of gushes out. It's like okay, it's not urine. Where is this all coming from? Well, this study that was finally done and published in, and I'm looking at the IFL Science article, but it was published in Internal Journal of Urology, which it looks like it's available. Anybody can read this whole. I did not get. I didn't. I read a different article and did. I didn't read the full. But basically, what it comes down to is what they're saying is mostly coming out of there is urine. But there is a couple of other things in there. So there is fluids from the female prostate. So apparently that is there, and two other glands on either side of the urethra. So there are some other fluids in there, but primarily what it's saying that the liquid that's coming out is urine, which makes a lot of sense. It's if it's a large volume of liquids, it's going to be, mostly urine.
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense because, I have heard the argument before that it's not urine. At one point that was supposed to be proven by science or something. At least one study claimed it.
I don't know.
But then it posits the idea that women have some sort of cache of water inside their bodies used expressly for this purpose and not for cleaning out junk their body and like releasing waste product, which is a weird thing to happen biologically.
I mean, it is possible there's the dimensional portal in there and it's all coming out of that. Right?
Yeah,
or they just squeezed the ureter a little bit too hard while they were doing everything.
This says that it's thought that 10 to 50%, that's a wide range, of women can are capable of squirting. So often the volume expelled is 1 to 100 milliliters or 900 millimeters, and that 900 millimeters is
milliliters.
That's quite a bit of fluid. If it was only 1 milliliter. Then I would say, okay, it could be from the female prostate and these other glands. But 900, I think now we're talking about it's got to be urine.
Well, when you think about it, it's kind of a weird hang up for us to have to want to think that this liquid that is squirting over us is somehow different and more worthy of being squirted on you than urine, than another liquid that has been inside the female's body and it's like.
Yeah, and it is yeah, it's kind of like at one point. So what?
Either way, it's not pure spring water.
Well, that's true. Again, and some of the other things that they said in here is that it's unknown that it's saying that the other fluids that come out that along with the urine, they might be expelled or before the actual squirting process and just get rinsed out by, right? So it's not like all these things are happening at once, that a couple of these things might be happening first and then squirting happens primarily. So I mean, I guess that there's some questions on how those fluids get, which is kind of interesting. If the ejaculatory fluids expressed squirting, or if it, I guess they don't know. That's kind of an interesting question. What's that?
Oh, never mind. I accidentally got a little further.
Oh, well, go ahead. What did you?
Well, I got to the participants with the sexually stimulated by hand or by penis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they don't know whose penis it was. Yeah, they didn't say whose penis it was. And the researcher would leave.
Those that had the penile stimulation.
Yep. And he did have to wear a condom.
They instructed to put a condom on before the researchers went into an adjacent room. Presumably to give them privacy.
Now, this was done in Japan, right? I believe, looking at, is it a Japanese study? I mean, the people doing it, the names look Japanese. I can't read any of them. So Okinawa, Japan. Yeah, I think this research came out of Japan.
Yeah, and when you do these kinds of blinded trials, you want to keep as much the same as possible. They probably did use the same guy each time when the penis.
Volunteer man reported that in the high level PSA sample. bludgeoning, bulging.
I am surprised, though, that they use human and not some sort of, you know, plastic phallus, right?
That's what I was just thinking, too. That's why I'm giggling.
I mean, it would make more sense because it would be much more consistent. You would be able to control it better. It's one more factor. But in this mm-hmm. case, they put dye into the urethra so that they could tell where the fluid came from. So yep. they knew when they saw that dye come out what fluid it was. So they dyed it blue.
Yep.
So I mean, that seems pretty conclusive. And to me, I was like,
none of the women reported a sensation of urinary incontinence during the experiment. Well,
which is interesting.
Yeah. But how many of these experiments have they done so far, though?
I don't know.
I mean, because it says the one...
So before the experiment, a urethra catheter was inserted into the bladder and urine was collected. The researchers injected a mixture of indigo, chemi, and saline. So I think that's the dye. It was to make it a bright blue. So there you go.
However, it's amusing that it says the male volunteer.
It does say that. Yeah. Well, that was a good day for him.
That's what is amusing me. Because it makes it sound like there was only one male volunteer.
Hold on, Brian. I understand now. These are the women that they use on those maxi pad commercials. They use their urine.
Here's the other thing I would question about the research is that most women do not orgasm through penile. So why? Why not just let them masturbate? Did it make a difference? Did you know?
I guess they had this one guy, and you know, you had to do something with them.
So there was a bulge in the G-spot before the squirting began. Bulge, no gland.
Penis gland. Yeah. Those are the two glands on the side which are...
Yeah, no, I'm confused because I gotta imagine that, you know, I guess, like I said, I didn't do the study close enough at all. So I don't... Does it say how many volunteers they had? No.
Just 10 to 54% for the capability of doing it. But they have actual numbers except for the reference of the one male.
Yeah, that's it. That's all they reference.
One male.
If somebody comes out later and says that this whole study was BS, I might believe them because there's just not enough here. I don't know how many people it was. Okay, here. Five women. Two in their 30s, two in their 40s, and one in their 50s participated in the study. All women were able to squirt. So that was important, right? They had to be all squirters. Three squirted only with manual stimulation and two with penile sexual stimulation. Yeah, so two of them did use a penis and three of them did not. Okay. So they were just manual. Okay.
I love the way that's put. Honey, come over here. I want to use.
Well, and here's the thing. You got to wonder. Wait, it's like, okay, so two of them. I mean, was it just one guy? I mean, this is. It gets creepier as I start thinking about this. Because, like, this is the guy who will be fucking you today. I mean, maybe they're porn stars already or something. I mean, so that's okay. That's not a problem. Yeah. I'm just.
Or maybe they put a mask on them.
Well, I know, but still, they've got to agree to be penetrated by this, right?
Yes.
I mean, maybe they just allowed them to use where, you know, their own husbands or whatever.
Well, that would make more sense, right? So the guy, maybe the guy was their husband. And, of course, you'd want him to wear a condom because you don't want any of his fluids to interfere with their samples.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of this,
that is true, yeah.
I don't know. So I don't know. Could this pass ethics in the United States? No. They couldn't have done this here because I think that they could have done the masturbation piece, but I wonder if they could have done the penetrative and got it to pass the ethics. And certainly not if it was some random man. If it was some rando, probably not. Interesting.
The writer of this, Dr. Becky Corkle, found her stats and everything. She's a scientist. PhD in biological science from University of East Anglia. 4 years. East Anglia?
Ultimately, as long as everybody is consenting, I don't care, right? That's the only piece I care about. I don't know if people appear, if people are having sex or research or not. Go at it, man. As long as everybody's consenting, let's get the data.
Yeah, same here.
So this is just a starting of trying to get information about that.
So here's the conclusion from the published study. The main contents of squirting fluid is urine. It may also contain fluid from the Skene's gland, female this King's gland, and then in parentheses says female prostate. So I thought that I'd read that there's two different things, but apparently not. That gland is the female prostate, and so you might also have fluid from that.
Oh.
So when I read the other article, it sounded like it might be two different things. So maybe I read the initial article, but when I read it in the other one, it, you know, is in parentheses that that's the state.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the article got it wrong or if I read it wrong.
Not sure. Study was cited 11 years ago, though.
Yeah, okay. So there you go. It's 11 years. So we should all know this by now. Oh, so, but, okay, but this
we
says,
all don't
but
know
this article was published September
16th. Further.
Yeah. September 16th. So when was the study published?
11 years ago. The original study was posted 11 years ago.
Was it done 11 years or posted?
Posted.
Yes.
Anyway, this, the, wait.
Cited.
Okay, hold on. Received April 20, accepted 13. So it was published in this, in wherever I'm reading it from, Wiley Online
years.
Last year. So that's when this got published, right? So when they did the research versus when they published it, those can be years and years
could
apart.
Could be, yep.
Everything that I see here, it's, you know, 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway, so there you go.
And in these notes as well, people are noting 900 milliliters. The one who squirted that one probably got dehydrated.
I mean, I don't know. If they,
that's a lot of liquid.
It seems
they're
like a
just
lot of liquid.
Joking around in there. I just yeah. thought of it.
Let's move on. What do you got for me, dumbass?
I've got the very important work our scientists are doing in enriching our lives by planting the world's smallest mustache on a red blood cell.
Okay, so why?
The heck of it.
I hope that's not the case. There's got to be a reason that we'd want to do this.
Right. It's not just for the heck of it or because we in support of the global men's health charity known as Movember.
Okay. This is where you let your facial hair grow for the whole month of November, and you
right,
don't trim it.
Right, to raise a tackle men's prostate.
But what it really does is it helps us to identify men who shave normally because they look like pedophiles when.
Is it all mustaches that look like pedophile mustaches?
I don't know. It's a good way. Without the beard or anything else, a lot of times they're pretty damn creepy, aren't they?
Yeah, I tried to grow one in college. Yeah, looking back at it, probably.
I have it's called a Van Dyke, right? Because it has the beard and mustache.
You mean like Dick Van Dyke?
No, I don't think it's named for him.
So you guys can look up a picture of this. It basically looks like the Pringles guy, almost an exact the pixel of the Pringles guy, his face and blood cell. And his mustache is pretty much same shape, but you know, it's a little blockier.
Okay. I mean, it's definitely, yeah, it looks like it's that kind of waxed mustache look. So what did this help them do?
Uh-huh.
What was the point?
Well, like I said, this was basically in support of Movember and Men.
Okay.
It's kind of a bit of a publicity, but it does demonstrate the capabilities of the technology, the device is FIVSEM. What does that stand for? The acronym is probably somewhere in this thing, but anyway, yeah, it is capable of imaging structures as small as 1/10,000 of the width of a human hair. It employs a high energy of metal ion to etch and deposit tiny structures.
The fact that they're able to do this means that they could. I mean, could they use this for a marker for something later?
That they could. As I understand it, right now, the process is intricate. Like you have to like translate the level, get the automatic process.
It's interesting. So it's 15 nanometers thick. So I mean, it's.
We want to put a mustache on everything, don't we?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because I mean, well, I was trying to compare it to like the size of a CPU.
Smaller than that.
Well, we measure CPUs in nanometers, right?
Yeah, but how many nanometers does a CPU have?
Well, that's what I was
how many
to find
nanometers
out.
Would yeah. a CPU be if the CPU... Never
so
mind.
The campaign here is specifically focusing on blood as part of Movember, and it's in Australia, encouraging to donate blood and bandage.
So it is, yeah. So for a quick comparison,
division bandages, like people are going to collect those, I guess.
So I'm not sure what models, But it looks like, you know, that, that there are 10 nanometer CPUs, 7 nanometer CPUs, and 14. So, I mean, okay. so similar sizes and thickness to what we see happening here. And so, I mean, this scale that, like, CPUs work on, stuff like that, the idea that you can take something that's 14 nanometers thick and then put that onto a red blood cell, it's kind of impressive.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. I just find it funny that we like to put mustaches on it. I mean, it could have been anything, and they chose the mustache, and, well, we have to put a mustache on everything.
Yeah. Yeah, but, of course, you know, you're right that a CPU would be bigger, right? But when we're talking about width and length, the thickness is still only one, that's only one plane of this. Mm-hmm. So it's not very thick. It has a lot of, you know, a lot of casing on it to protect it and to wick away heat. But all those little, transistors, you know, are all on that flat, you know, to do the work. And somehow we're able to I mean, we're able to do that, and then it actually runs our computers. It's pretty amazing. But it's the same thickness of this thing that they put onto a red blood cell.
I'm just thinking of all the things that can be used for with science fiction coming to life.
So I don't know, Mad Cat, are you prepared to talk about your article?
Oh, man.
Or should we put this off? Because I haven't read it, and you say you haven't completely read it, and it seems like there's a lot of data here. And I'm wondering if maybe we should actually hold off on that.
We might want to go with your article.
We can go back to mine.
Apparently, Brian, did dinosaurs kill my grandma?
Well, that's not what it's saying.
No, the stairs killed her.
I don't know,
but grandma though.
I don't know. It's possible. You know, right now you could be killed by dinosaurs, right? It's possible for you to go outside and be swarmed by geese and be killed by dinosaurs.
Yep, that is the deal.
So dinosaurs might be the reason we're not living to be 200 years old. And this is to be clear, they make it very clear in this, this is a hypothesis. This is not a theory at this point, right? It's a hypothesis that this gentleman has been putting together and building a significant amount of, you know, data behind it. But it's by no means, even considered a settled science. He's published this research, but is it in no way considered. But what it is essentially saying is that, so back when dinosaurs were the primary inhabitants of the Earth, and they came Jurassic. So prior to that, there are other lizards that roamed the Earth prior to dinosaurs, right? The mastodon, for one, is a big lizard that you would look at it and go, oh, that's a dinosaur. But really, when you look at the phylogeny, it's not. They were roaming the Earth prior to the Jurassic, but during the Jurassic, when the dinosaur. And so there's a couple of different. It looks like the theropods, the dinosaurs that we really like, came to be around the. And then, of course, they continued through the Jurassic into the before they were all wiped out. But what it's primarily saying is that during this 100,000 years that dinosaurs evolved.
Oh, right now.
Yes. Sorry. I had to hand something to my husband.
Yeah. Okay. But during this 100 years, right, that the dinosaurs evolved on the Earth, mammals were very small at that time and had to reproduce rapidly, and because they were, you know, a primary food for
Thank
a lot
you.
Of these for you're welcome. For I'm going to have to do some editing here. What happened is that what they think is that during that period where they were having to evolve rapidly, it shortened the life cycle of the mammal at that time, and we lost some of our abilities to regenerate some of the alleles that reptiles still have to keep them from getting canned to live longer lives were lost in mammals at that time. So basically, from the pressure of having to evolve much quicker Or you know, or the life cycle be a much quicker life cycle, so through, you know, some of these other adaptations would have gotten lost during that time that other reptiles still continue to have. So by thinking about, you look at crocodiles and they're fairly long lived, and as they age they don't tend to get cancer and stuff like that. That's really kind of a mammalian trait. So what they think happened, it wasn't the dinosaurs like directly, indirect, and because of the way that mammals were having to evolve at that they would have lost some of these traits.
Oh, dinosaurs indirectly.
Yes. Yes.
So they indirectly have it's gone.
You lost the joke. That ain't good.
I love.
So so specifically, like, one of the things that they point out here is that one potential loss.
And you've also pointed out that dinosaurs give you cancer.
Yes, dinosaurs give mammals cancer. It was that one of the things that was lost in mammals. Mammals became nocturnal at that time. So a million years later, we have to make up for with suns. So any protections that we might have had, if we had been able to evolve in the sun, we lost because mammals became smaller, faster breeding, and nocturnal. So to keep away from.
And this is why all the chickens must be cooped up and caged up and put in prison so that they stop terrorizing.
I'm not sure if that's really the takeaway from this, but
yeah.
They all must be turned into nuggets.
Yes. They have to be put in this big barn now, big barns stuck together like meat packets, and become meat packets.
They must answer for their crimes.
They must answer for
that. Here's is true.
Another piece of evidence that he
came in and chicken. Never mind.
Another piece of evidence that he points to is our teeth. Certain reptiles, including alligators, keep growing teeth for their whole lives. Humans obviously cannot do that. Again, perhaps a result of genetic selection dating back to hundreds of millennia. So it is interesting. So he's pointing out all these things, and what he's calling it the longevity bottleneck. And it is interesting. So, like, I mean, tortoises can be lived to be 200 plus years old.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's other and there are some other sea creatures that we know can live to be thousands of years old, and some jellyfish they think are eternal, right? They just kind of keep evolve, you know, changing, and may never die. And humans get a lousy 80 years on this world, and tortoises get 200.
Yep.
And
why we need to rise up and eat the tortoises.
They, at some point they talk about potential enzyme loss that we might have lost. And interesting enough, and he's pointed to the fact that, you know, mammals more readily as they age get cancer than reptiles.
They scared the last brain cells out of us. The dinosaurs scared us.
Apparently. And interesting enough, I guess, I always...
That was kind of the premise behind that there was a thing about shark cartilage preventing cancer for a while, right?
Because I think sharks also they tend to not get cancer.
Although apparently they do actually get cancer.
Well, I think also so can reptiles, right? It's just they don't get it at the rate that mammals.
No, theirs are a lot slower too when they get cancer. It's weird.
So this is just something that you know, this is the research that this gentleman is doing, and it was published in BioEssays, and it at this point it is a hypothesis. Nobody's saying that actually, you know, for sure true. He's still building it. But it is interesting.
It is interesting, and it's a good case because it would that does give that empty information of why we get more maladies and such.
But the other piece of this though is that at some point you're gonna have to show, and I don't know how you do this. I mean, how would you show that if a mammal had if mammals didn't have the pressures of the dinosaur that they would have evolved and would have had the? How do we know we had them in the, at all?
Well, just have to go back in time and kill off all great an alternate timeline to monitor what.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, and then just set up some.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep. 42.
I don't know. I don't know how you ultimately prove this. I think it's interesting, but I just don't know how this.
It is interesting, and there's quite a few things that it would explain. But like you said, it's not even a theory yet.
Yeah, it's no.
But you know, have to start somewhere.
I mean, it's also, but I think that there's also, it's just possible that mammals just never evolved with those things, right? And I think that's still also a possibility.
Well, we had little brains for a long time, so
I don't know. Fit.
Yeah, I don't think we know all that much about labels, right?
I mean, we have some fossils and stuff like that, and they know some, right? Yeah. But I mean, here's the thing: is if you're a paleontologist, are you going to study small mammals or, you know, tyrannosaurus or allopathosaurus?
Depends on how crazy you are about that particular dinosaur.
I'm just saying that you know, T-Rex is probably one of the coolest things ever to walk the earth, and I can understand why
true
paleontologists
enough
want to do research on that, right?
True
Allosaurus, right? Another one, a really cool one. I mean, you look at some of these monitors, like, that looks like a dinosaur. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, like my little dinosaurs over here.
Yeah,
my
exactly.
Lizards.
Yeah.
They're just, you look at them, you watch the way they react and everything, and you know that's, you know, certainly a descendant of dinosaurs because of...
Well, they're not, though. I mean, they evolved independently, right? I mean, so like crocodilians and stuff like that, they predate some...
Depends on the ones you're talking about, but for the most part, reptiles and...
There's a reason that crocodiles are crocodiles
Indians on here, but
crocodiles are not considered dinosaurs, right? Birds are, and birds come out of, you know, are a member of the theropod family, where crocodiles came. Their lineage predates
crocodiles
the dinosaurs.
Crocodiles are further,
they're
yeah,
further back. They predate it, yeah.
Yeah,
they predate it, so they don't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, they're different phylogeny, but they were around at the same time,
but
right?
They
come from
the same.
Yeah, but
same base.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they had a common ancestor.
Yes.
They weren't grabbing at wildebeest back then.
Apparently not.
No.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. We could probably talk about that all day.
Probably.
But yeah, so the research from BioSA is the longevity bottleneck hypothesis. Could dinosaurs have shaped aging in present day mammals? It's an interesting question. And not
it
one
is
that I would have ever thought to ask. So I thought it was to me, it was at least cool just to read that. This is an open access journal. And so, and I read through the whole thing, and I would say that, you know, it's pretty understandable what got published. Anybody should be able to read this and follow along with most of it. Of course, there's some stuff that I couldn't follow, but I'd say that most of it I was able to follow. The way that it's presented is it to follow. And I imagine that it gets much more technical, and that if it was published in, you know, a journal where they really want to get down to the nitty gritty, that I wouldn't have been able to follow it. So I was happy to have this.
So it was easier to follow than you are? Right now?
No, probably not.
So, conclusion. Dinosaurs did indirectly kill your grandma and cause cancer.
Yep. Yep.
And there you have it. You heard it here first. All right.
Our grandma didn't
here
die
we go.
Cancer,
here we go. This article, I'm interested in what you got here. I didn't get to read the whole article, but you know, of course, some of these scams that are coming out of this are fantastic. So, can an AI chatbot be convicted of illegal wiretapping in a case against Gap? Old Navy may answer. So this is, I mean, I haven't read through this, but I'm going to guess. Here's the thing is that ChatGPT isn't doing something without human intervention. So while you can get the human that was inputting that stuff into ChatGPT or in using it and getting it to do this thing, but the computer in of itself wouldn't be responsible because it's not intelligent. It's not sentient.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a case where they're saying that it wasn't clear that they were talking an AI instead of to a person, and apparently like the chat conversation was logged, and so like now they're prosecuting that under an old wiretapping 1960, I think.
Oh.
And we're hiring this in a case where, like, U.S. law basically is, like, doesn't know a lot what to do with AI stuff in a lot of cases. And so this is, you know, helping that out.
So this is we're in that kind of awkward state where something is new and we don't know how to prosecute crimes that are done with it.
Yeah, because right. We have to invent those yet.
Yeah.
Although I find it interesting that this is the thing, because to me, like, this was about a customer. So, but to me, like, anytime you're dealing with customer, you know, in a chat or something, you've got to.
What's the crime? I mean, what did it do that would be considered wiretapping?
It saved the record of the chat.
So a customer chatted with ChatGPT, and a log of that chat was saved.
Right.
was it not supposed to be saved? I mean, is this any different than me calling customer service and them recording the phone call? Right? I mean, because I mean that they have
I'm
to tell me
the
that they're recording
thing myself.
It. So is the crime here that it did that they that the customer was unaware that the chat log would be saved? Because like when you log, when a lot of times when you call, you know, customers,
I think that must be the thing that the customer that they failed to
notify
that
the customer. So it's the same thing as that when I call a customer service, this may be right. Mm-hmm. And by the way, this you guys are I'm recording both of you right now.
This may be recorded.
Yep, this is being recorded. Yeah, all this is being
Ryan,
recorded.
Ryan, I'm shocked. I've been having these private conversations with you and the rest of these guys like every couple of for the past several years. You've been recording me this whole time?
Yeah, and sometimes I actually managed to put them up online.
I thought that was just for that.
Oh my fucking God, Ryan!
I mean, how could you?
I know. I hope this doesn't change anything between
how
us.
Could you?
I thought we'd been having private chats this whole time. I've revealed my entire soul to you, and you've just spit on that and put
you
it out there for the world to see.
Oh my!
You're just
my
bitter about
cousin.
Being slapped with the tuna, still, aren't you?
That tuna hurt, Brian.
Isn't this
mackerel?
So, I mean, that this is a much more mundane thing than I actually thought it was, because we're seeing that people are using these chat AIs and stuff like that to run scams on people, right? It's just the natural, you know, kind of evolution of these things that they would be used to commit crimes. And right. I mean that. It's the natural evolution, right? Every time somebody invents something cool, it's only a matter of time where somebody figures out how to leverage it to actually commit a crime. And to run a scam. But to me...
And to show they can do
yeah,
it.
So to me, I guess you need to let the person know that all this stuff is going to be logged. But man, when I'm dealing with a private and having any sort of interaction, like email we know is being saved, right? Because there's laws that require companies' emails forever. But do you know that when you...
Not just
you know,
7 years?
It might just be 7 years, but I mean, SOX... Right, Sarbanes-Oxley changed a lot of that from the financial point, you know, maintaining those records. And I'm not sure how long
about,
it requires it.
You're talking about more crime to...
Right. So that's what I was thinking of that I've been hearing about more and more is the chatbots being and all this means
have much better grammar than
right
that we're being
yeah about. And it might be easier to make targeted stuff right because you might be able to like input a list of names and you know and information and you might be able to collect more information quicker and have it generate and auto generate you know these you know phishing emails and send them out so they might get better over time just because of that. I imagine that still you know unless they're specifically targeted and crafted they still won't be as you know they won't be as effective. But we see what we well, you know when it comes to phishing what we call whaling right. Which would be a crafted attack on a specific individual in a company, usually an financial officer like that, somebody who actually can you know can actually get you something.
Right,
And so, but if you can use ChatGPT and other stuff like that to scrape information and craft emails, you know, craft better phishing emails quicker, you will see more targeted emails as well. I think more targeted. I suspect what's going, and certainly it's going to make generating phishing emails.
I actually have a lot more on phishing stuff. I believe that it's already going on, that it's making that a lot easier.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a
yeah,
doubt. I'm just saying it's going to get in I'm just saying, yeah, it already is
get
getting,
even,
it's already more,
worse.
We're going to see it, and it's just going to continue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these AIs that are being put out as well are set up so that they learn from each experience, each thing that's going on. Like, it will save information from the conversation and they can go right back to exactly where the information is.
Yeah, so this so the article that he pointed at says AI tools such as ChatGPT are generating a mammoth increase in malicious phishing. So there you go.
Yep. So it's already going.
Yeah.
And a lot of debate, like the article here gets into some of this debate over like the sources that they use and how you know people are like feel like that people aren't getting paid for their words that are being trained. And a lot of this I think is steeped in like the misconception that a lot of people have that what AI is doing is just chopping up text that's out there and just fitting it back in like another like jigsawed back together in another form.
Yeah, and it's and it's not. It is more clever than that.
No, it's not doing that at all. People think that about the picture AIs too. That's not really what they're doing.
Yeah,
it's not how they work.
Yeah,
they don't have this huge library of all this stuff. You know, in their mental catalog, like for Stable Diffusion, I think is like 8 gigabytes, but the images was trained on as a database over a few hundred terabytes, I think, a couple hundred, 200-300 terabytes. So it's like they can't possibly contain all that information, you know, accurately within them. That's not what they're doing.
Yeah. So I'm looking over your article a little bit more. So these are happening in California, which doesn't surprise me because they have passed more protections for their people than other states have. And I think that we'll see other states passing the same kind of protections they passed. So they had the Delete Me Act, which forces data brokers to delete data. And they've done some other things. And they have their own kind of version of GDPR, that the UK passed. So I think, though, but I think I still wonder how this is going to do in court, because the idea that you could that a chat log wouldn't be saved is kind of crazy. The idea that you would think that you talked to a customer service bot and it didn't get saved, I think that it's crazy to think that it wouldn't be recorded. Anything you put into a computer,
like, if it's not explicitly saved, that's just even if it's not explicitly said in the chat. That is just something I assumed. Like, you're dealing with a customer service representative. Well, of course they're gave that.
Yeah, so you initiated a chat with a customer service bot or representative, either one, and you're having a text conversation back and forth between them. The idea that would be private is crazy, and the idea that it wouldn't be saved, I think, is also crazy. So I'll have to read through this a little bit more. But I wonder how this is going to go in court. Maybe this works okay in California, but I'm not sure where else you could make this suit. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it. I mean, I think that I would never type in something anywhere on the internet and think that it isn't being saved, right? Every time I do a search, well, I use VPNs and other stuff, but, you know, the potential that...
And, you know, you can use, like, DuckDuckGo or whatever, but
you can try.
Into Google, you know they're keeping a record of that.
And even DuckDuckGo keeping some stuff. You know, they took some heat a while, you know, for saving some stuff. But, I mean, I don't know. I think it's crazy to think that, you know, your privacy...
Well, yeah, I mean... Yeah. You think of it, it's like a transaction.
Yeah.
They keep information so that one of the things they do is keep information so that when the customer comes back, if the customer comes back and says, I got this at I don't know when, they can even look it up easily to exactly when that item had been sold in the history.
Right.
So, I mean... If you expect them to be able to find things for you or find information in the background, why do you think that they're not keeping the information?
Yeah, I have no idea. Like I said, I need to read the article a little bit closer, but I think it's kind of crazy to think that this wouldn't be logged in some way.
Yeah, this is...
So I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Yep, it is interesting. All right. Well, I kind of think that's all we got, unless Sherry, you have something else you want to put in here. Well, otherwise, we'll look at your CB article, or not next week. Next year.
Next year we'll.
This is the last podcast.
We'll start off with a CBD bang.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I think that's a good idea. We can structure a whole thing. I wanted to talk about free will at some point, but I put that off for tonight. I didn't feel like I had enough free will.
That was a great movie.
Free Willy 2. Well, it's kind of funny that they did the Free Willy and everything, and it helped to actually get that particular orca set up and back out in the wild.
So at some point we may have to have a little laugh at there's some articles out there about, you know, people telling Elon Musk that X, when people think of X, they think of porn. He was told that at a board meeting and apparently was not happy. you need to find that article too. But I think
you
of
put
that disappointment.
Out there, people are going to have an opinion of it, and
yeah, exactly. I'll have to find that, see that section. But I'm going to be. But I think of that disappointment that we should.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. That's their dinosaur in the can.
The AI can.
AI
can. Hey.
If you've made it this far, that's an hour of your time you're never getting back. But the amateur skeptics appreciate you giving that hour to us. If you'd like to tell us how you felt about spending that hour with us, let us know at WTF@AmateurSkeptics.com. The Amateur Skeptics podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike No Derivatives 3.5 license. Intro music by Peter Canold. Find more of Peter's music at soundcloud.com/PKANOL. Exit music by OFM. Find more of their music at myspace.com/OFMHQ. Artwork for the Amateur Skeptics by Sean Smith Ford. Copyright Shadow Knight Digital Portraiture.